There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Well, God bless you today. This is Steve Clark, and this is day 7. This is our last day of my time of sharing in the Daily Inspirations for a while. And what we've been doing is we've been going through different portions of the book of 1 Corinthians. And today we're in chapter 15, and I read out of chapter 15, verses 41 through 44. So this is often called the resurrection chapter. We have in 1 Corinthians, there's quite a few. There's the love chapter. We looked at that yesterday, and the resurrection chapter. It's a good book to study. There's a lot in there about spiritual gifts, which we saw yesterday. And so anyway, here we are, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're not going to read the whole chapter because it's quite long. 58 verses, but we're going to go through it here a little bit. Starting with verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." Well, this is the Apostle Paul writing here, and he shows here how many people saw Jesus after his resurrection, and it was spread abroad, the resurrection. People saw, they were eyewitnesses of Jesus who was raised from the dead. And here, 500 at one time, it says here, and all these other people. And then Paul says, he was seen of me, Paul, but this was after he was ascended up into heaven. Paul was on his road to Damascus, and Christ came, you know the story, how shining light, and Paul ended up having a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus said, "Why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you fighting so much against me?" And he didn't, you know, Paul then gave his life to Christ, and so Jesus was seen by all these people, and he says that, you're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Well, it's not just having a set of doctrines and believing them. You know, we could have the best doctrines and even believe those doctrines, but unless we truly trust in the blood of Jesus, unless we truly are following the Lord Jesus Christ, we can believe the right things and say yes to the right questions, but that's not going to do it. And I don't think Paul was saying that here. He was saying the things that I showed or preached to you was that he was born of a virgin. He was lived a sinless life. He died for our sins. He was raised from the dead. He ascended up into heaven. And that's where what he's saying there. verses 12 through 20, I'm going to read there. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Now the Sadducees didn't believe that there was a resurrection from the dead. And So Paul goes into some reasoning here of about the fact of the resurrection, and if they didn't believe the resurrection, well then, yeah, they're all kind of, if Christ didn't raise from the dead, then their preaching is vain. He says we're actually liars because, you know, we're testified that he rose from the dead. I mean, we saw him after he was crucified. So he says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses or liars of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished, meaning the dead that have gone on, that they're perished. There's no resurrection. If Jesus didn't raise, then they're not going to raise either. And then verse 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, I wanted to focus a little bit on that verse. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Well, why would that be? Why would the apostles or the Christians back in those days, why would, if they only believed in this life, or if they only believed that living for Jesus was only for this life, that there's no resurrection, they're not going to go to heaven. Why would they be all men most miserable? I mean, most of us think, well, the Christian life's pretty good. You know, I'd rather be a Christian, even if there is no resurrection of the dead, even if we just go to the ground and rot away and that's it. Even if there's no resurrection, you know, Christian life is pretty good because, you know, here you look at people out there on drugs, you look at people out there with divorce and remarriage and all these other kinds of things. There's a lot of sin. I would rather live, you know, a Christian life, even if there is no resurrection. But here it says, for in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Well, here's the difference. The Apostle Paul and the early Christians back then, they suffered a lot of persecution. There was, for believing in Christ, they denounced their Jewish religion. They put their trust in Jesus. Oftentimes they were killed, persecuted. They were, they lost their jobs. You name it, you know, it happened to them. They, their family disowned them. And so they could have been, you know, they believed in the resurrection. They knew that what Jesus came to do and what he did, and they saw his life. They saw him ascend up into heaven. They saw him die, all these things. And they believed. And so they were willing to suffer because of, because of what they saw. And this is a powerful argument. Here they lived a life of sacrifice. They lived a life of denial. And they did that because they knew that there was a resurrection. Here, you know, we have it pretty easy. But, you know, they could have had it pretty easy, too. They could have been the quiet of the land. Paul didn't have to go around and preach the gospel. He didn't have to ruffle people's feathers or whatever. You know, he could have been quiet. He could have just stayed silent. He didn't have to, you know, be the apostle to the Gentiles. He could have just lived a nice, happy life and not had any persecution, never be stoned, none of these kind of things. But he did, because he knew there was a resurrection. He knew that the message that Christ gave was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So he did. He went. And it's like that for us, too. We can be the quiet of the land. We can not ruffle anybody's feathers. We can just be peaceful and have our good businesses and our good lives and eat our good food and go to our good recreation places and things like that and never say a word or Yeah, we can be like that, but that's not what the gospel is. The gospel is telling others. The gospel is going out and preaching to the lost. The gospel is getting in the way of evil and these kind of things. That's what the gospel really is. And if we think that we're doing God's will by just having our businesses and not saying a word, not being a witness, then we are mistaken, and we need to repent and turn from our sin there. So, well, I'm going to skip down to verse 41. Okay, we read that earlier. Verse 32, let's see. If after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? So here Paul must have been thrown maybe to the lions. I don't know. He fought with beasts, it sounds like, at Ephesus. And why would he go and do that if the dead rise not? Why would he be so zealous about the things of God? It's because he knew that there was a resurrection, and he knew that that Christ commanded what he commanded, and he was faithful to go preach and to go stand in the way of evil. He says, if the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So he says here that we might as well just eat and drink, for tomorrow we die if there is no resurrection. And so, you know, don't worry about it. Let's just have ease. Let's just have comfort. Let's just eat and drink. Let's just go about our life, live our 60, 70 years or whatever it is, and just have an easy life. But no, we're to go out there. We're to be in the place. We're to stand in the way of evil. We're to go and preach the gospel to the lost, and yes, even get persecuted by our families or whoever. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak to your shame. And yeah, I'm sorry, but some have not the knowledge of God in our day and age too. It's just an easy life, and they don't, you know, they say they believe in Christ's teachings, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount and all that, but he also said to go and preach the gospel, and oftentimes we don't believe that, or we don't do that. So then verse 42 says, so also as the resurrection of the dead is sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption. This is what I started with. It's sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It's sown a natural body, and it's raised a spiritual body. That's what we're going to, when the corn goes into the ground and it rots away, it's raised up into this, you know, strong plant, and it's different than just the kernel that goes to the ground. Or think of a caterpillar that turns into a butterfly, and it's transformed into something better, something different. And this is what, and there's many different examples in nature, but this is what he's talking about here. There is a natural body, there's a spiritual body. And then verse 45 says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, or a reviving spirit, a life-giving spirit. That's Jesus. Albeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. So the natural came first, then the spiritual. Adam first, then Christ. Our natural bodies, then the resurrected body. It comes after. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Praise God, we're going to be changed. Now this I say, brethren, that your flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So there's going to be some people that don't go to the grave, they're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and maybe that'll be our day and age. Who knows? We don't know when Christ is coming back at that last trump. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. And this is what I would encourage for you that are listening still. I know maybe I'm a little bit long here today, but this is the last verse, and this is what I'd encourage for you if you're still listening. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And the reason why it's not in vain in the Lord is because there is a resurrection. And the last enemy, it says, we skipped over that verse, but the last enemy is death, and Jesus has conquered even the last enemy, the enemy of death, and that we... if we believe in Jesus, he said, if you believe in me, I can't quite get it right now, but even like this here, it says, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? So God bless you. Thank you for listening. And I just pray that you would be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.